Today we enter into a new conversation, a new series that are all about helpers and intuition. Today we begin by talking about our terms. So on the one hand, intuition is what feels better. On the other hand, helpers help you have what you desire. Intuition is immediate and instant. It is right in front of you. It is what feels better in the doing, the saying, or the thinking. Thoughts that feel better are in alignment with who you are. That alignment is everything. There's literally nothing more important than that alignment, and there is no tool more useful or more powerful than intuition. Your helpers do not help you with your intuition, although they can remind you that there's a thought that feels better. Your helpers also don't intervene. They don't come in, swoop in. They're not like the idea of a guardian angel portrayed as someone who just shows up right when the car is on top of the baby and lifts the car up and moves it. Your helpers are everywhere. We're going to talk, however, about your helpers as being non-physical friends. We're going to talk about helpers in the way that often is described as guides or spirits or angels, for the purpose of being aware that there is a non-physical component that is powerful and is actually much, much bigger and much wider and much broader than the physical, and in fact that the physical is a subset of the non-physical. The physical, which appears to be the defined reality with limits and boundaries, that is part of what you are doing here, that physical reality is actually a dream happening within the context of the non-physical. So when you sleep at night and you dream, you're actually in a much broader space. You're much closer to who you really are than you are when you are awake and focused here. You've intentionally done this, however. You have intentionally played the game of individuation and succeeded quite powerfully. And now, being aware of who you are and noticing that the non-physical is actually who you are, and the physical is a subset, a small, very small subset of the vast non-physical being that you are indeed. You have helpers, fellow travelers, if you will, who are the same as you, but are not in your reality, for no one is in your reality but you. This is a dream you are having. It's a private dream. No one is in this dream but you. The images you see, the people you encounter, are reflections of other things. They're ideas that you have in your mind that you're extending out for the delight and the joy of interacting with them. What you're doing in this dream is you're stretching ideas that normally would just manifest instantaneously as soon as you conceive of them out into time and into space. We've often pointed to the manifesting of breath as being the single most important thing that ever happens here. So if you notice that when you breathe in and you breathe out, it's happening through time. It's also happening through space. Your lungs, your diaphragm, your windpipe, your nose, your mouth, these are the elements of breath. A body is required in order to breathe. Breathing is meaningless without a body. It doesn't really mean anything. But with the body, it becomes a central thing. In fact, it becomes the most important thing. And you're really good at it. You may wish you were better at times, but you're really, really good at it. You're actually quite excellent at it. You're quite masterful at it, along with all the other things that you're manifesting by default. Your helpers don't really help you with that, although they do in one particular way. We'll talk about that in a moment. But in terms of the help that your helpers offer you, it's not about what you're already really good at doing, which is you're very, very, very keenly masterful at manifesting reality by default, which accounts for 99.0% of everything you experience in your physical reality, everything you can see, hear, touch, taste, and smell right now. The vast majority of this, in fact, almost entirety of it, is manifesting by default quite expertly. Where intuition and helpers come to play, in other words, the reason why this is a conversation that has any meaning is because you've taken some of what you desire out of the stream of default manifesting and pulled them over into what we like to call your art project room, where you're working on them, like a sculptor works on a sculpture, or where a painter works on a painting, or where a chef would work on a recipe. And while sculptor and painter are really good words to talk about very specific things, chef de cuisine, which is the chef who works on the recipe, is a word that is really, really applicable to you. And although you're not the chef de cuisine necessarily, you may be a chef de something else, de living room, de bedroom, who knows? Because the chef de cuisine just means the chief of the kitchen. But you are the chief of the reality that you're inhabiting. So everything you're seeing right now, you are chef of this. Now, you are also master of it. You have masterfully brought this together in wonderful and delightful ways. But the art of manifesting, the chef is an artist, like the painter, like the sculptor. But we like that word chef because it means chief. You are the chief manifester of this physical reality, and you have amazing helpers. Amazing helpers, and you have your intuition, that most powerful thing at your disposal. Now, we said before that your helpers do help you in a certain specific way with your default manifesting, something we've talked about in many different ways, in many different times. And what it is that they do is they help you have manifesting reality. Because manifesting reality is quite the project. It's kind of like building Hoover Dam. It's a big fucking deal. Or the Empire State Building. Or a bridge that goes across many miles of ocean. It's a big project. And there's a lot of resistance involved that is helping you. Where things get a little screwy is when you use resistance against yourself instead of for yourself. And your helpers can help you with that. The resistance that is primarily in play here is, we've often described in an analogy of, imagine that you're on the back lot of MGM somewhere, and they're filming the Ten Commandments, and there stands Charlton Heston in his robes with his staff looking imperious, and he commands the sea to part. What actually happens on the screen is that it looks like the Red Sea literally is moving apart. What's actually happening there in San Bernardino or wherever this backlot was is that there are men who are operating machines that are making water push apart, and it looks like the water is separating as if by the command of a staff. But what is in fact happening is there's just a machine that has two walls of water on either side where the water is cascading over and then recirculating as it goes down into a pond. And that, combined with some very clever mat work, makes it look like the children of Israel are crossing from Egypt over to the Promised Land with maybe a handful of fish left over in the way. Those walls of water, you're standing in between them. That's resistance, and that resistance is coming from you. You're really, really, really good at this. Really, really good at this. So there is resistance involved in manifesting reality, but it is not of any incident or really of anything of interest, except for the part where it's helping you, and except for the part where sometimes you will take that resistance a little bit too far, where you will be actively in resistance to the very thing you're wanting by declaring, for example, that you don't have it, when in fact you plainly do have it. You may not have it right in front of your very eyes, and that's where the confusion arises. You begin to confuse what you see with your eyes or what you can touch with your fingers as being the true reality of your nature, when in fact it is not. What's happening right here and right now, where you're standing, where you're sitting, where you're going about, what is happening here is happening for you, it is happening on your behalf, and it is most definitely happening to your benefit. Your helpers are part of that, but most importantly, your intuition is helping you by bringing to the table the very thing, what it is that you're wanting, right in front of you. Having trained yourself to believe that it is necessary to figure out in advance what you're going to do, this doesn't really make any sense. If you're supposed to figure out in advance what you're going to do, then why would you have instant access to exactly the thing that is right for you in the right place at the right time? The reason for that, of course, is that this is your nature. It is not your nature to plan. That's something you learned how to do. And it's fine that you've learned how to do it. And there are times when it's going to be really useful. But today being the day of your great good, and now being the time and here being the place where all of this is happening, wonderful things, great magic and great delight indeed are occurring. We really do want to bring your attention to the fact that you have intuition, where you know exactly what to do next, and you have helpers who are helping you have the manifesting reality you desire. On the one hand, they're helping you have all of that which we're calling default manifesting. And the way they do this is quite simple. Quite simple indeed. They simply know that you have it. And we understand that that may not seem like much of anything, but that's all you're ever doing. That's what manifesting is. You know that you have it, and you don't contradict yourself. So being in the middle of having all of these things that you desire, noticing that they're just simply there because you want them to be there, like running water and electricity, gravity, for example, as well, your body, that is not a big deal because you don't have a lot of contrast, and you've never once really thought, well, I need to work really hard in making sure that I get electricity. There are ways in which you could do that. You could, for example, decide, I'm going to live off the grid and I'm going to generate my own electricity, but that would actually still be you in alignment with what you're wanting. You're not trying to push against the very thing that is there to help you. Because the fact that there are electrical generating devices and ways of transmitting electricity and using it that don't kill you, you're benefiting from what has happened before. You're benefiting from the system known as electrical generation or electrical delivery. And while this may sound like it's a conversation for engineers, what we're really talking about is the fact that when you are allowing of something, you don't really think too much about it. That's kind of the point. If you're thinking a lot about something and trying really hard to make it happen, and try to come up with yet another way of doing it, you're likely in the way of it manifesting. In this series, we're going to invite you mostly to relax, because you know what to do next, and you have tremendous help. So with that, we're going to bring this part of the conversation to a close, and we're going to move directly into the process that we'll be offering for today's encounter. And again, with all of our processes, we do remind you that this is not the way to do it. It is a way to do this. And it's powerful. Not because we are bringing it to the table, but because of what you do with it. That's where its power sits. And that's where it amplifies. You can join in, or you can sit back and observe. Either one is exactly right. But with that, we begin the process with these following words. We invite you to take a deep breath. And as you take a deep breath, we invite you to notice that you are indeed in the right place at the right time, in the right way, right here and right now. We invite you to imagine that you are sitting around a campfire somewhere out in the woods on a perfect starlit evening. And with you are your very good friends. Friends you've known for seemingly forever. And as you sit around the campfire and maybe you sing a song or two and have conversation about that one time, remember when, or conversations about where you're going, what it is that you desire, we invite you to look around and to notice that these are your helpers. As you sit around the campfire, occasionally lulled by the conversation, listening to the crackling of the wood as it burns, listening to the sounds of the owls who've gathered around to look at you and see what you're doing and what you're up to, taking a moment or two to gaze up at the stars through the branches of the trees that stand around you. Occasionally, you're going to nod off. And there in the presence and in the company of your most wonderful friends, you're going to have a most excellent dream. And then you'll wake up. And your friends will look at you and say, "Was it a good dream?" And you'll say, "Oh, yes, it was. And you were there, and you were there, and you were there, and you all helped me." "Tell us about it," we'll ask one of them, and you will. And you'll tell them about the love that was there and the joy and the peace, the delight and the magic. And everyone will nod and someone will say, "That's a very good dream." These are your helpers. As you take another deep breath, we invite you to open your eyes if they have closed and to look around the room that you're in. It's quite likely that in a conversation about your helpers, you already know who they are. You've already met them or named them. If not, you could certainly spend some time here thinking about, contemplating who are your helpers. If you know them, think about how they've helped you, how they've reminded you of certain things or helped you arrange what it is that you were wanting. For in this dream, this magnificent and wonderful dream, you are not alone. Your helpers are with you. And there will come a time when you will wake up and you will look around and you will say, "Oh, you were there and you were there and you were there." But you don't have to wait until then. You can look around now. And although you will not see them with your eyes, you will be aware of their presence, particularly if you call them forth. Perhaps they have a name, perhaps they do not. You may be able to name them individually. They may be people who are familiar to you in your lifetime, such as someone who has now moved on, a relative, a friend, a lover, but they're with you. So as you take another deep breath, we invite you to intend that as you go through the day today, you will be aware of the presence of your helpers as you move about. You will know them, you will see them, you will feel them, and you will hear them. If we were going to intend such a thing, we might say words like this: today, this day of great good, in which I am sitting, that is expanding around me and evolving through me, is a day also wherein my helpers rise up to meet me, and I begin again to feel their presence, and I'm consciously aware of the ways in which they're communicating with me and helping me. I feel their delight and their love in being present with me as I am having that which I desire. And that is what pleases them, and I know this. And it feels better to be aware of the fact that I am not alone here. My helpers are indeed present. And so if we were in your shoes, having just said something like that, we would take a deep breath and exhale, knowing that in that out-breath, now out goes your intending, out to manifest, to come back to you through the feedback loop, to show you exactly how right you are with what you have just said, and how delicious this is, and how wonderful this is. And further, we would, if we were in your shoes, look around and say quite clearly that as wonderful as all of this is, and as amazing as all of this is, it's only getting better and better and better and better from here.